It is so good to be together. My name is Mike Bartlett. I'm one of the pastors here at King's Baptist Church. Yeah, come on, let's have some love because I love that name. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I love that name because it speaks to me about the reason that church exists at all. And one of the scriptures that I'm going to have read in just a second is a scripture that towards the end of the book from which it comes is about King Jesus coming back to make all things new. And I think that when we have within our name as a community the person whom we worship, we are starting off on the right foot. Yeah? Feel free to interact with me. I'd like to get a little bit Pentecostal this morning, so, which is funny because we're at King's Baptist Church, but there you go. But you know, one of the things that I think is, and folks, kids, teenagers, this message and what I'm going to talk about is got something in it for everybody in thinking about and talking about and imagining the future. So I'm going to invite you guys to hang about today, and I'm going to try and not be too long. All right? Can I get an amen to that? All right. But one of the things that I think is and have spoken about is a fundamental strength of our community is the fact that we are made up of the generations, yeah? Young and old and all sorts make up the King's community and everywhere in between. And scripture that I would like read this morning, two scriptures I'd like read by someone on the younger end and someone at the younger with some more maturity in. All right. So I'm going to ask Helen to come up and read for us first, and then I'm going to ask Izzy to come up and read for me second. Is that okay?
Thank you, Mike. This is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. But before I start, I have friends who say, let's pray to the universe. And I say, nah, let's pray to the creator of the universe. And this is what it's about. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sea, bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for fruit for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good.
Thank you.
From Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were completely gone. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne. It said, now God makes his home with people. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sadness. There will be no more crying or pain. Things are no longer the way they used to be. He who was sitting on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down. You can trust these words. They are true.
Well done. Good job. What we have there is two scriptures. Scriptures from the beginning and scriptures describing the end. Scriptures describing the goodness of creation and scriptures describing for us the newness of recreation. And what we're talking about this morning is what we find ourselves invited to participate in with God in the in-between time. And that's exciting. And that phrase has already been used by a couple of people this morning. What is it that we get to be a part of, participate with God in these years that we have on His beautiful earth? As far as creation goes, did everybody receive a baggie on their way in? Yeah? So I'd like you to just take some time to look at that, because in that, put together lovingly by our wonderful and long-suffering office team, is our new reflector and a bunch of other stuff, which you can have a look at when you get bored with my sermon. And no, seriously, there is also in there a care card. And if you are new this morning, or you're just visiting as part of the celebration, we would love for you to give your details to us, and so we can get to know you a bit. Or if you are looking for a church home as well, there's also the opportunity to be part of our special Thanksgiving offering that will come at the end of our service. So please, the Reflector is put together, our newsletter each month, with a lot of care and a lot of attention about what's going on in our community. So I trust that you will take some time to have a look what's in there, and see what's going on in the month ahead. So we have here the King's community. We're celebrating that today. We're celebrating the story so far, and we're celebrating what's ahead of us as well. And we have at the center the reason why we exist, who is the King, Jesus. Savior of our souls, the Savior of all creation, He that is actually the physical representation of God Himself. Amazing thing to think about. And as we follow Him together as friends and we consider what it means to have a vision of faith of our own, we are invited to realize that as we think about what it is that has come to life through people who have followed Jesus together as friends, we realize that the first expression of that, or the expression of that life, has come out of the church community. And it's an amazing thing to think about it, and I'm always a little bit just awestruck when Catherine tells that story of faithfulness and persistence of a group of people that wanted to see something come to life that wasn't yet. It didn't exist, and it came from the church. But as that church sought to carry out its mission for Jesus, it created, as we discovered, this school community, the King's community. And now there is an enormous, not just set of buildings on some land here, but far more significantly, a vast community of people whose lives have been touched by the Spirit of God at work, ministering, healing, teaching through the work and the love and the vocations of many people associated with the community. And so we see that as that which will continue to happen. The church will continue to intersect in life with the school. And that's why there's no hard lines. It's a blurry line of colours melding into each other there between the church and the school. But I do want to mention as well, and realise and make it known, that we realise as a church leadership that this church is not just about a school, and nor is a school just about a church. But as part of our church life and as part of our school life as well, we realize that we have an enormous impact in the communities in which we live our life, eat and breathe and sleep every day. Whether that's here in the city of Adelaide, or whether that's in places like Cambodia through the work of Transform Cambodia, or through the Ross's work, Ross Britton's work with SIM, or through the work that we give to as part of being a Baptist church, we are part of a lot of communities. And so I found this to be a helpful diagram in sort of just explaining why we exist and what wouldn't be a reality if the church had never existed. And I think it's significant to think about that the way that mission happens in the world, the way that churches thrive and are healthy, is that they are orientated outwards. That having been touched by the saving work of Jesus in their life, their energy and their creativity and their love for Jesus is expressed by serving outside of the walls of a church building. And this is exciting to think about, but because the interesting thing that happens is that there's a reciprocal relationship between the way that we minister outwards. I just wanted to use the word reciprocal. But as we are on about Jesus's community and on about that which he would be on about, and I'm clicking, and there we go, we've got an arrow. We realize that people are drawn to the King as well, that people are drawn out of a sense of belonging, out of a sense of friendship, and they're invited to think about what it would look like if they were to start having a relationship with the King of the universe. And you know, I think that it's an amazing thing to think about, this fact that Jesus invites us not just into relationship, not just to come to know him, but to be co-creators with him and participants. People that actually say, yeah, I see that there is a boat headed somewhere and I want to be on that boat. I want to buy in to that boat. And it's not just as soon as you hear those words, buy in, you sort of tend to think about money, but that's not just what it's about. We're thinking about what does my life look like as a participant in what one writer of Scripture calls the divine nature, actually in interaction with God. And so, you know, Izzy read a story there from the end of Scripture, and the writer of that Scripture begins that Scripture and says, I looked and I saw a new heavens and a new earth, and there, and then he says something really strange, and there was no longer any sea. Now, I'm a little bit alarmed at this because I like surfing and the ocean, but it appears as if this is not in God's plans. But anyway, we think about what that picture is actually representing is that God is in the midst of creating a future which is full and perfect. And the sea, when that Scripture was written, represented that which was chaotic and a mess and a disaster. And that Scripture is all about putting things right again. It's all about establishing justice on the face of the earth. But I spent some time with that Scripture over the last couple of weeks, and I thought to myself, what would it mean to imagine what could take place between us and through us as a church and a school community and whatever other type of sort of creation that God gives us in the midst of this season of life? And I let my imagination run away with me a little bit. And I would like to invite you now into my subconscious. And you should all be very terrified. I'm daily terrified when, I'm just kidding. You see, some of us think in pictures and graphics, and some of us think in words, and some of us think in diagrams, and some of us who are women think in feelings, and, that was meant to be a funny joke, but nobody laughed, so I apologize for that. I didn't mean it. Oh boy, I might just get on with this. Okay, can I invite you now to close your eyes? And I'm going to read a picture, if that's possible. But I want your imagination to feel, I want you to feel invited to let your imagination run away with you. Hang on, don't close your eyes yet. Open your eyes for a second, because I realize I missed a key part here. So the school moves up the hill. Part of the same story, the church moves up the hill. And we have this bit of land in between us now. And as many of you would know, that is that piece of land, including the community house, is in the process of being obtained, hopefully, by the community for the purposes of God's creation. And so this dream takes place within the framework of our local geography. You know, because that's what this morning is about. That's not all that church is about. It's not all that the school is about, but it's what this morning is about. So I hope that you'll Give me this indulgence. Here we go. Now, please, close your eyes. Close your eyes. If you'd like to, if you concentrate better with them open, do that too. But it is a beautiful Friday morning. And I am standing on the oval at Windvale Drive looking out over the fair city of Adelaide. And I turned around and I saw the Spirit of God coming down from the heavens like a mist all over the neighborhood of the King's community. And as early morning joggers disappeared and the time for school began, I continued to watch and I saw families from all over the local neighborhood streaming onto the campus. Now, there's nothing unusual about that, of course. Kids tend to go to school at a time at which school starts. But as I looked closer, I did notice something different. It was in their faces. They were happy. More than happy, they were joyful, honestly, really excited. And not just the reception kids and year one kids. I know you wouldn't believe it, but even year 10 kids. And not just the kids, there were parents and teachers and grandparents who had been roped into doing drop-off that day, and they had joy on their faces too. And that joy was being brought forth by the Spirit of God, and you could feel it. Everyone had a role to play, and this role wasn't onerous or burdensome. It was coming from a place of true joy. And as kids went to school and teachers went to work at the northern end of the campus, some working parents dropped off their kids at the newly developed King's Early Learning Center, preschool and kindergarten, before walking across the porch of that center to the renewed Lookout Play Cafe, now open 7 days a week, and was served their favorite coffee by a highly skilled barista. This beautiful new building had been built quite deliberately on the vacant land that existed between the church and the school. Symbolically, it crossed the border and in form and function that served as a hub for the whole community. Indeed, on the masthead it read, perhaps, the King's Hub. And in that purpose-built play cafe, housed on one side of the bottom floor of this new building, was a barista making amazing coffee. Now, she's a great coffee maker, but an even better friend, and the extended wait for coffee for some of the mums was forgiven because of the friendship in the service and the fact that she knew what all the regular customers wanted before they even ordered. The cafe is busy, but I got the distinct sense that this was not unusual. It's been built and fitted out in such a way that it was clearly a place of belonging, a place of gathering for the community. Every day of the week, this is a place that has the feeling that people want to be in it regardless of their particular church or religious affiliation. This is a place that people feel welcomed and loved. You got the feeling that this would be a great place to set up a time-lapse camera and watch life happen because this is where life did happen. This was a place where those conversations that matter happened, a place for regular catch-ups, a place both actually friendly and cool, a place for parents and kids and grandparents. They all felt at home, a place for big groups with some more intimate corners as well. Beautiful music provided a relaxing mood and the cover of privacy where it was needed. And had I stayed watching the cafe throughout the week, I would have seen it used for any variety of purposes past regular business hours. One night a week, it was used as a gathering for Come to the Table, a community meal administered by the church's not-for-profit arm CareLink. Students from the school and people from the neighborhood, people from down the street, people needing a feed. Another night, various women of the church were running a six-week course in Italian cuisine. This distinct sense of belonging and meaning and purpose that I had noticed was only further affirmed when I noticed as I watched a whole range of other people going to work up the stairs of this building, through the doors of the center and up to the second floor. And what was available to them was community access to all manner of resources and services that had the ability to give new life or renewed life where people needed it. A doctor's surgery, counseling rooms, massage, a physiotherapist, a classroom made available for financial freedom courses, nutrition coaching, even a quiet space for people to meet with a life coach or a spiritual director. Where people had the means, they paid for these services appropriately, but no service was withheld from anyone who couldn't pay. It was provided with generosity. And what became clear as I watched was that if anyone had a dream, a picture, a vision of a way that they could serve or provide for others, this church community, this King's community, gave them space to flourish and be fruitful in service. This was clear as I continued to watch, and I saw the way that the church staff intersected with and ministered to families of the Early Learning Center, many who came to playgroups at other times and church worship services on Sundays as well. What became clear was that the people who were part of this community were cared for, all of them. It seemed to be a place where friendship was the highest value of all. New friends were easy to make and old friends seemed impossible to leave. Everyone was welcome here. It was a place for everyone. I stuck around and watched the whole day on Friday. As the morning drew on, I watched students make their way from the school to what was also part of this whole new complex, this beautiful center for worship and the arts. Recently completed, it was clear that incredible thought and care and planning and artistry had gone into this new space, which had been on the back burner for years. But it was quite obviously a destination of beauty. And that day, the experience in senior chapel, where the chaplain brought to the rest of the senior school, was a story of the unlikely way that they had found Jesus, even in the midst of intense pain, through the simple reality of friendship in their life. And so I decided to even stick around for the evening as well, because I realized that a lot of kids had, after school, made their way to the youth center, which was built at the northern end of the property. The youth center, where the shed exists now, housed all the things that teenagers could want. Skate ramps, video games, simply a great place to be. The difference again, of course, was that opposed to the feeling of intimidation one sometimes gets at a public skate park, there was a feeling of ease and safety, comfort and belonging. Friendship was still the highest value. The youth pastor, also a chaplain of the school, was making a special effort at welcoming kids who had wandered up the road from Golden Grove High, who would stick around with kids from a bunch of other schools actually for the rest of the Friday night program. This week, however, they were heading off-site in the church's newly acquired Bonanza bus up to the hills for a bonfire that was so big its heat would rival the sun. I was so enthralled by what was going on, I decided to stick around for the weekend. On the Saturday, the staff of the cafe served and ministered to those who came to the community for netball and cricket and basketball, and in turn their funds helped to sustain a ministry of the church. The evening of the Saturday, the same as the Friday, the worship space had been hired by a local theatre company due to the excellence of its facilities. The Sunday morning brought a huge mix to the community. Lazy people with hangovers made their way to the cafe for some grease, while many families, families of all generations, made their way into the church service, a church service of paying attention to God and to people. The preacher was okay if a little long-winded. The gathered people of God met together and hung to his word. Sunday evening brought an even more eclectic mix of folk. Folks doing church, for sure, it just didn't look like church. And the pastor running this show didn't look like a pastor. This week, they were trying some sort of spiritual practice of silence interspersed with reflections on the spirituality of pop music of the late 90s. Somehow, this pastor had the ability to bring it all back to Jesus. The new week brought with it aspects of life you'd hope would be a reality in any Christian faith community. And some of these were visible at the hub. Tuesday's craft group, for example, continued to occupy the church's hall as it had for the past decades. Much care and love was extended to those who found community in here, but much happened elsewhere, all over the place, in small groups, in prayer circles, in one-on-ones, in hospitals, in homes, in workplaces, in coffee shops, all over the city. Followers of Jesus developed and deepened friendships that shaped their lives together. The church had become generous. So much was this the case that the church community had taken on a target which it was in the process of achieving, of being a church that tithed to overseas mission. 10% of its budget went to ministries that in no way served its own needs, but actively invested in the kingdom of God. And as the Spirit of God continued its work, and I sat and I pondered, I saw that the King's community was being called. It was being called by the Spirit of God to be a hub of hope that was in physical form the expression of the gospel. Sadness was being eradicated. Marriages were being put back together. Friendships were mended. Addictions were healed. Justice was promoted. People were drawn from far and wide because this was a place where people encountered Jesus, the love of Jesus in people who called them friends. Amen. There it is. Folks, this is a picture knitted together, just a dream, but a dream that hopefully we're putting some legs to. Because there is much that lies ahead of us, and I believe that the best is yet to come for this community, you know? And I just want to run you through some considerations this morning. You know, and for those of us that have a hard time listening to sermons and are more visual in orientation, I just want you to think about this space as it exists. It's an aerial view, obviously, of where we sit. Yeah? Have you orientated yourself yet? Everyone got themselves there? Here's the church building right here. And I want you to invite you at this stage to think about what it would mean, perhaps, for us to consider this hub of hope at this place in the community and how that might take place. Here are our existing buildings from an aerial point of view again, but this is the space in between. And you'll notice that as I move through this, there's no definitive building types, no picture from a landscape. What I'm asking you to consider is a concept this morning. To consider a concept. So before you say to me, Mike, I really don't like green. Okay? Green just doesn't work for me. It reminds me of my kids' boogers and, you know, it's just... No, I'm just talking about shapes and concepts. I'd like you to continue to let your imagination be invested in this. And we consider that this shared space between church and school has this untapped potential to form this meaningful connection, not just between church and school, but everybody that drives by this community and everyone that's part of it by virtue of working on the Oval. But what would it mean for us to consider that this space, in whatever shape it was that we built here, formed a connective space for the community? A strategic, connective space where we could invite people into the beginnings of a relationship with Jesus. Yeah? And so as we think about, you know, what it might mean to house in this space, whatever it is, an early learning center or a new worship space or a fully fledged play cafe, we consider that we can think about the creation of spaces within that space that would utilize a natural environment in those spaces. And we think about providing for kids and providing for the cafe and that sort of a thing. But it's this space here too that I want to invite us to consider that, you know, is sort of underutilized at the moment. And we have, like, quite literally hundreds upon hundreds of teenagers coming to this space day in, day out. Sure, they have to come. But they don't have to come here. And what if we actually provided for them in this space, in a place that they were going to feel loved and welcomed into God's family? And there's all sorts of ways to consider that the flow of traffic might take place between these spaces. And really, there's the possibility for us to think about that as far as signage goes and as far as actually telling the good news to everyone that drives by on Windvale Drive, there's a real opportunity of untapped potential here to think about welcoming those into our midst that just may drive back and forth, not even thinking about what is that church actually on about, you know? And so some arrows here to show, you know, potential flow of traffic according to what I spoke about just before. And so we know that parents drop kids off at school and they already often head up to the cafe once they drop them off. And this is already a place of community and connection. We're actually building on what's actually already happened. But we want to think about it as a place that exists beyond school hours. And this little oval here is meant to represent, you know, what might actually exist in this place of service for the whole community over the top too. You know, and what would it actually mean to think about having a destination of beauty and experience in terms of worship and provision for the school, but also for the wider community, that people might actually know by the way that it was built and what it was used for, what the church was on about. And again, I used Adelaide Oval as an example here. You know, the possibility existed when those who were doing the Adelaide Oval redevelopment to say, you know, let's do this and that'll do. Okay, we need a bridge. Let's do a straight concrete bridge. You know, that'll do the job. Use the bare basics of material and get people from A to B. But I don't know who it was and what names they go by, but but somebody has created an actual experience when you go to the football, haven't they? Who's walked across the bridge to a Crows or even a Power game? Yeah? And I mean, that's half the fun of going to the football, isn't it? My kids especially like the part where we go through the lobby of the Hyatt. That's just a little added extra for you. But you know, what would it mean to have a destination of beauty and an experience that actually, even just by being part of, told the story of the gospel? And what would it mean for us, like I said, to provide for the whole demographic of our community? And what would it mean for our cafe? You know, this really stuck out to me the last 2 weeks because of cricket going on out here. Of what would it actually mean for us to interact with our community more in terms of being available to them, not as a holy huddle, but to those who are actually have a disposition, a direction of being faced outwards, you know? Because over the last couple of weeks, people from the cricket club have come in and said, is the cafe open? And we've said, well, kinda, you know? And I think that this is something for us to think about in terms of being on mission with God, is what it means to journey with people at whatever stage they're at on that journey. And like I said in that story, consider the use of this space, auditorium for functions and performances, as well as the fact that Sunday mornings continue to facilitate church services as well as perhaps a cafe running at the same time, you know. And realizing that there's much that happens here. That red building is a building that we're currently sitting in with all those wonderful solar panels on the top, which incidentally are pretty much paid off. Is that correct, Daz? Almost paid off this year. 3 years. Good investment, folks, you know. But invites us to consider that this space as well, and everyone that's part of this, they too have a role to play. Yeah? So I invite you to consider the King's community this morning. And that's big stuff, and it's stuff that is hopefully in our future and stuff that will be communicated about. And there's processes in place and teams at work of people made up of members of this church that are thinking about that, that are feeding into that vision, that are wondering what it is that God is inviting them into. But we realize that between where we are and where we believe that God is calling us to, there is a million steps along the way. Well, maybe not a million, but there's a few at least. And what we realize in the midst of this, as we come to an anniversary service, which is this community service, is that we take up a Thanksgiving offering. And in a little while, I'm going to invite Darren to come up and invite you to participate in that. But some specific things that I want to let you know that we are attentive to as part of the leadership team here at church. One of the places that we realize that we really need some investment in terms of just staffing structure is in a pastoral position to look after and oversee areas of administration and care link and seniors ministry. So we have combined those ministries into a potential pastoral profile that we will hold a church meeting on to vote on to hopefully approve in a couple of weeks. But that profile for that job, for that role that we see as one of these stepping stones along the way, is available on your way out for you to consider. Whether you're a member or whether you're just visiting today, you're free to take one of those. But that pastoral position is one practical way that we are thinking about how it is that we provide and care for our community as it is in the moment. Another way that we are exploring this is by actually engaging in a process of community consultation. And that is to say that obviously with the possibilities and the potential for what could take place between us, it's no small thing. You're going to need partnership not just of a church and a school community, but of local council and probably state and even federal government. And so we're in a process in a working party between the church and the school of doing some community consultation from that. And if you have continued feedback that you'd like to feed into that process, I'd like to invite you to be free to do that. But with the vision that was shared this morning as far as that vision of faith brought to life in the school, and as we're at the beginning stages or the in-between stage of considering what vision of faith God is bringing to life in this time of life for us, I would like to invite you, if this is a place that you call home as far as your worshiping community, to consider not just what financial contribution you would like to make, to this community, but where it is that you could help out as well, whereas you could actually serve people. Because folks, coming to a church service on a Sunday doesn't make us disciples of Jesus, you know. The way that we follow Christ and serve him and love people as he would love them, this is what forms our discipleship. And after church this morning, I've asked both specific areas as far as our children's ministry and our youth ministry, our leaders of those ministries, I've asked Jace and I've asked Narelle to be available at the high tables over to the right-hand side of the cafe, to be available to talk to people who feel like God would have them serve as perhaps a helper or a prayer or a server or a cleaner-upper or a parent, available to come and just help clean up on Friday nights, but just coming and willing to say, yeah, you know what? I want to invest in the younger generation. And there's a volunteer deficit there that we have that we really need some help with. And we've done appeals for this sort of stuff before, but that's a real place at the moment that it doesn't matter if you feel particularly gifted in youth ministry or kids ministry, that I would just like to invite you to consider. And if you are even thinking about it, to talk to Jace or to Narelle about serving in that way. So there are lots of ways that you can contribute. Those are just two of them, which we're going to have people available to speak to you after the service. I want to encourage you to make the most of that. But we are coming to the conclusion of our service as well. And we're going to sing a song in a minute called God is Able. But it's also the time where we are going to, Darren's going to invite you to consider what it means to make a financial contribution to this vision that God is giving us as well. So I'm going to invite the band up to sing, and I'm going to invite Darren up to sing about the financial contribution that you can make. All right, so there you go.